In page 127 of the Ministry of Healing, it begins with, "And the only hope of better things is the education of people in the right principles. Let the physicians teach the people that restorative power lies not in drugs, but in nature. Disease is an effort of nature to free the system from conditions that arise because of a violation of the laws of health. And so if a person does not know those laws, they don't know that they're violating them." You see that? So it's vital that we teach that. Pure air is the first law of health. Let's have a look at pure air. There are four vital elements needed for life. Let's look at the four vitals. The four vital elements needed for life. So remember, we use the BHSC method. Do you remember the Bible? History, science, and common sense. And we really just study these three because the common sense comes in. Bible, history, science, and common sense. So let's flip over to some science. Number one vital element needed for life is oxygen. The second vital element needed for life is water. That's not a surprise. The third vital element needed for life is sodium. And the fourth vital element needed for life is potassium. And we'll be exploring them a little bit later as we go on. We explored the journey of glucose yesterday, and now we're going to look at the journey of oxygen. So from the food that we eat, the glucose goes in to the cell. Remember, we're looking at the CBD, the central business district of the human body. When the glucose goes in, it goes through a 20-step pathway. This is called the glycolytic pathway. And this 20-step pathway delivers for us 2 units of energy. The end result of the 20-step pathway is a chemical form of glucose called pyruvate. And pyruvate, as the chemical form of glucose, gets fed into what's commonly called the powerhouse. And the reason it's called the powerhouse, because even though it's only an 8-step pathway, it delivers a very impressive 36 units of energy. Now, the reason why a 20-step pathway only delivers 2 units and an 8-step pathway delivers 36 units is oxygen. The difference is oxygen. So this pathway is called anaerobic, meaning no oxygen. And that pathway produces energy by the process of fermentation. Whereas this pathway is the aerobic pathway. This is in the mitochondria, specifically the Krebs cycle. This is the aerobic pathway. What a difference oxygen makes. And as I mentioned in a previous lecture, I'm drawing that as if there's one pathway through per cell. No, no, no. You can have 100 of these little mitochondria energy cycles in one muscle cell. And if you exercise every day, your amazing body can actually develop more. And the more you have, the more energy. But what really is the biggest determinator of energy is oxygen, as you can see. And we are the ones, I am the one that chooses the air that I breathe. I am the one that makes the decision on how much oxygen's going into my body. But many are sick through ignorance, not realizing the very things that are influencing the oxygen going in. So that's what I want to look at now. Let's make a list of the effect of oxygen in the body. Oxygen. Now, these terms I have taken from the writings of Ellen White. Oxygen vitalizes. Oxygen invigorates. Oxygen electrifies. Now that's how you're going to feel when you have enough oxygen going in to get down to there. That's impressive. Now there's a name for lack of oxygen. It's called chronic fatigue syndrome, is that right? Chronic fatigue syndrome has one cause. Lack of oxygen.
Yeah.
Now, medical missionaries, there can be 100 causes for the lack of oxygen. And remember, many are sick through ignorance. There can be 100 causes for lack of oxygen, and we're going to touch on some of those. Oxygen also soothes the nerves. So if you're feeling a little uptight, breathe deeply. And with every breath, say, thank you, Father, for what's happening to me right at the moment. Thank you. Thank you. Did you know that God is a solution God? No matter what you go through, He has a solution. There hath no temptation taken you, but that which is common to man. But God is faithful, and what will not tempt ye above what ye are able, but with that temptation he'll make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Is that right? So when I was in Frankfurt about to fly to America and they said no, I said no. They said no. America's only accepting vaccinated people. America's only accepting US citizens. What am I going to do? Do you know what my mind suddenly said? I can't go. I've got 2 weeks of health retreats booked in. They've got 14 guests. And they're all there because this Australian speaker's going to be there. Breathe deeply. And know that God has a way out of this. So I booked a flight for another couple of days. Then I had to find somewhere to stay, and everyone speaks German. And I don't know where to stay. But you know what? God is the solution. Breathe deeply, a bit hard with the mask. Open the mask, breathe deeply. And something happened. And I just want to share this with you to show you, because often when people are stressed, they're lacking oxygen. They forget to breathe deeply when they're stressed. So I went and got in a taxi. Taxi said, I said to taxi, can you take me to a hotel? Oh, I can't do that. That'll take hours. No, you can get out. Go and find someone who'll tell you the hotel. Do you know, I was really glad of a mask, because I've got a, you know, release valve, it's called crying. So I just cried when I got out, went and sat in a corner. It's really good, the mask, no one knows. Okay, my release guides happened. What do I do now? Now, something had happened an hour before. I knew I needed food. And, you know, in Germany they have sourdough spelt, rolls, salad, great things. And just as I'm about to buy, there's a lady in front of me. And she got a whole lot of stuff. She's about 35. And she speaks English, and the man behind the counter did. And she gave a brochure. He said, I can't, a voucher. I can't accept this. She said, but Lufthansa said I could. He said, no, it's not filled out right. You'll have to take it back. She said, but my pickup's coming in 5 minutes. So I said, how much? 20 euro. 20 euro. Wouldn't you do that? Do unto others. It's the golden law. Just do it. Just do it. 20 euro. He looked at me. She looked at me. I said, you know, and you've got a mask on, but you can smile with your eyes. That's right. I said, I've been there before. She's looking at me. She got her food. He took the money. So that had happened an hour before. I didn't think anything of it, you know, it's what you do. So I'm sitting there thinking, how do I find a hotel? And then I looked at that man, and he could speak English. So I went over to him. I said, excuse me, can you help me? And I found if you say that to a man, remember they're the warriors, and you're a defenseless little lady. And he looked at me, and then more people came. I said, oh, wait. I stood back. He got someone else to, and he said, yes, what is it? I said, I can't go to America. I've got to find a hotel. I don't know how to. Okay. Found me a hotel. What price? Not too much, not too little. Yeah, I've got a price. Rang them up straight away. Yep. Barbara O'Neill, yeah, two nights, yeah. Went outside, got me a taxi, put me in the taxi, said to the taxi driver, take her there. That's where she's going. Praise God. Is God good or what? Yeah. And what a potentially scary situation. You're in a country you don't know. You don't know anyone. Well, I do know some people, and I did ring them up, but they were climbing the Waldensian Mountains. God has a solution. But you know what you must do? Breathe deeply, because what does your brain need right at that point? 36 units of energy. 36 units of energy. I said, thank you so much. Do you know, I'd like to tell you that I think that made his day. Isn't doing good for others an excellent remedy? Yeah. Why do you think he helped me so much? Do you think it was that I paid for that lady? We never know where anything's going to lead, do we? We never know where it's going to lead. Breathe deeply. So one of the causes, chronic fatigue syndrome, can be the person stressed out. Because you'll find when someone's very, very stressed, they usually breathe lightly. Let's have a look at what happens when there's not enough oxygen. It's called hypoxia. It's a medical condition. And the paramedic knows hypoxia. The lips blue. Fingertips are blue. Why? When your blood cell goes through the lungs, it picks up oxygen like a little parcel. And look at the colour oxygen gives it. Red. So when there's blue top lip, blue fingertips, you know what that means? There's not a lot of oxygen in the body. And sometimes I'll even quickly plunge a hole here. But, you know, if it's blocked there. Because you've got to get that air in. You've got to get that oxygen in. It's the most vital element needed for life. You can go 3 months without eating. You can go 3 days without water, but you can only go 3 minutes without oxygen. So what are the symptoms of hypoxia? Because there are many people suffering from hypoxia. It's called chronic fatigue syndrome. What are the symptoms? Fatigue. Lethargy. Fatigue, I feel like you've climbed a mountain and all you've done is got out of bed. Fatigue, can't even get out of bed. Nausea, it's not the only cause of nausea, but it is one of the symptoms of hypoxia. Headaches, it's not the only cause of a headache, but it is one of the symptoms of hypoxia. I find there are many people today that are drifting in the haze, you know, the haze that lies between optimum health and severe illness. They're not jumping out of their skin with energy and they're not bedridden. How many people, when you say, how are you, what's their answer? All right. Okay. Not too bad. What's not too bad? Not too good. And if you ask someone, how are you, and they said, fantastic, how many people would say, what's wrong with him?
Where do you come from?
Have you noticed? Isn't it sad?
Yeah.
That it's unusual for someone to say, fantastic, great. Because so many people are suffering from this. Do you know why there's nausea? Because the cells in the stomach don't have enough oxygen. Do you know why there's a headache? Because the brain cells don't have enough oxygen. As I said, it's not the only cause of a headache, but it can be one of the symptoms of hypoxia. So what I'd like to show you is how we can prevent that and how can we ensure that. Because isn't that what everyone wants? In fact, if you put it in a bottle, you'd make a fortune, is that right? How many people look at the 10-year-old and say, oh, if only we had that energy again? Well, you can. Just go to and Google 100-year-old athletes and you'll get a documentary on 100-year-old athletes. Hmm? And you've probably heard of the Blue Zone.
Yeah,
yeah, the Blue Zone. Oh, these people were in their hundreds and they're still climbing mountains. So a lot has to do with the air we're breathing. So air can contain negative ions. It's referring to the negative charge, and negative ions are electrically charged oxygen molecules. And there are three things that are required to produce negative ions. So if I tell you the three things that are required to produce negative ions, you start to understand where you will find them. Because remember, I'm terribly sorry that my resident Y is getting on the board so late. Why? Water droplets pass through the air, casting off negative ions. You see the three things present there? Water, droplets pass, movement through the air. So we need moisture, we need movement, and we need air to produce negative ions. So where do you find those three things? You'll find those three things, yes, especially the thunderstorm. I know sometimes if I'm watering my garden, I smell that negative ion smell. Because when I'm watering my garden with a spray, what have I got? Movement, water and air. Yeah. So when everyone's closing their windows and running inside, run outside. Breathe deeply. I'll show you how to breathe in a minute. The thunderstorm. Also the waterfalls. Yeah. And ocean waves, the pounding of those waves. And I think we can identify that we've all experienced the air in those places, but also the pine forest. And the reason why the pine forest has more negative ions is because the pine needles are so numerous and so fine. And they're so light that it only has to be the slightest breath of wind and you get more movement there than you may get in other trees. So early in the morning when I went through the pine forest and dived into that water, I got a nice dose of negative ions. Do you remember what I said yesterday? The person with chronic fatigue, you ask them, do they exercise? What's their answer? You don't understand. I've got no energy. Yes?
So doesn't it need to rain then in the pine forest to have the water?
Well, trees are giving off moisture all the time. That's where the clouds are born. Clouds are born in forests because they're giving off the moisture. One lady with chronic fatigue heard my lecture on exercise, put her joggers on and just pushed herself, went 5 kilometres, came back, collapsed and said, see, I told you exercise was no good. Another lady decided to go round the house once the first day, twice round the house the second day, 3 times the third day, 4 times the fourth day. 5th day, she'd go round the block. That's how you start. You start where you are, little by little by little. You push yourself a little bit more every day. Last week, a lady told me she got her rebounder. Very sad story. This lady's been on antidepressants for 25 years. And now she's got the shakes. She's off the antidepressants, but they've done the damage. And she got a rebounder. She doesn't shake all the time, just here and there. And she said she is improving because she has begun to implement the true remedies. So she got a rebounder. She said the first day on the rebounder, she did 10 seconds. She said, I'm up to 15 minutes now. I thought that was an excellent story. I said to her, I'm going to use that story, Sylvia. just a little bit more every day. Every day, just push yourself a little bit more. So that's where you find the negative ions. Where do you find the positive ions? Now, the positive ions have the positive charge, so they're the bad guys, and there's more carbon dioxide in their molecule than oxygen. So you will find the positive ions before the thunderstorm. What's the air like before the thunderstorm? It's heavy, isn't it? And if someone's got arthritic joints, they'll say, oh, the storm's coming, my arthritis is hurting. It's because the positive ions have a depressing effect on the serotonin in the brain, which can increase inflammation. But you ask the person with arthritis how they feel once the thunderstorm hits. You'll find the relief, that's right. Positive ions are also found in the city. In the city, you've got a lot of people who are all breathing out carbon dioxide. Carbon dioxide is the gaseous waste that comes out from the combustion of glucose and oxygen in the cell. You've also got some people who are smoking. Cigarette smoke particularly gives off another gas called carbon monoxide. And carbon monoxide is a dangerous gas to humans because carbon monoxide, when it comes to the blood cell, it forms a tight union. So if someone's breathing in carbon monoxide and oxygen, can you see what's going to grab the blood cell first? Oxygen on the red blood cell, well, on the blood cell making it red, is an unstable union. And it's an unstable union so that it can drop the oxygen again quickly in my brain, in my toes, in my pancreas. Whereas when carbon monoxide comes on, it forms a tight union. Where else will we get carbon monoxide? Where else can we be exposed? Is cars? The car fumes? I always question the wisdom of people jogging in the city on the side of the road because they're breathing in a lot of carbon dioxide. When I was teaching in the Bronx for 2 months, I found a park. They'd say to me, Sister Barbara, you be careful of that park. The drunks are in the park. A lot of people didn't walk because of this fear. God said, I've not given you the spirit of fear. I'm not walking at midnight. And when I was walking, there are a lot of people walking to work. If we entertained fear, we wouldn't do anything, would we? I say to mothers, don't say to your son, don't try the tree, don't climb the tree, it's dangerous. Don't go on that jump on your bike, it's too dangerous, you might get hurt. Because you know what boys love? Danger. Yes. And if you say, don't do that, it's dangerous, that's exactly what they want to do. So when my kids were on the jumps or climbing the trees, I just looked the other way. Because you know what's happening now? So many are saying, don't do that, don't do that. Come inside and just play games on the computer. I tell you, there's far more danger there. They break a leg, it'll heal. But what happens in there hardly ever heals. And what are they doing when they're climbing trees and doing jumps? Oxygen. And that oxygen going to every cell in the body helps them to grow stronger. Helps their brains to be clearer. I noticed when I was homeschooling my children, after about, half an hour, 40 minutes each subject, they'd have a break. And they'd climb a tree or they'd ride their bikes or on the trampoline. If it was raining, they could have the skipping rope on the veranda. And when they came back into school, they're like this. What's just happened to their brain? More oxygen. When I was doing my nutrition course, I really wanted to speed through it. I'd have one going in the mail, I'd have another module coming, and I was in the middle of another one. And sometimes I'd almost fall asleep, so I'd get up, I'd run out, I'd dive in the creek, come back, And that's what some ladies are doing here. Did you know that? The car to the creek. Oh, what a difference it makes. It's a great thing to do. Or just go outside if you don't have a creek or a lake nearby, and skipping rope, trampoline, run around the house, putting oxygen in. Where else can we get the carbon monoxide? Mold gives off carbon monoxide. I have found in about 9 cases out of 10, people suffering from chronic fatigue have had mold exposure. Remember what you do, you start digging deep. So we had one young guy come, and he was 22 with chronic fatigue syndrome. See, when someone says, I've just found out the cause of all my problems, I've got chronic fatigue syndrome, that's not the cause. That's the result. So you've got to dig a little bit deeper. I said to him, really, what's been happening? He said, I used to go to the gym, I can't go to the gym anymore. I used to surf, I can't surf anymore. And unfortunately, he had a helicopter mother. Have you heard of the helicopter mothers? They hover around their children all the time, and the children can't make any decisions and can't do anything. So she was keeping at home. You stay there, sweetheart. You just stay there. I'll feed you. Was that helping?
No.
No, because the last visit to the doctor is offering antidepressants. I said to him, what do you do for a job? He said, I'm an air conditioning mechanic. Now, what often happens in air conditioners if they're not working well? Yeah. Mold. Yeah. Mold, because there's a lot of moisture in there, there's the warmth. So as the young apprentice, he's sent to all the messy jobs, the worst jobs, the moldy jobs. I said, aha. And I investigated a bit more. So are you sent to clean out? Oh, yeah. He said, oh, some of them are in such a terrible state. I said, mold growth? Oh, yeah, some of them are just black with mold. Aha. Aha. What does Ellen White say in page 127 of the Ministry of Healing? In case of sickness, the cause should be ascertained. He'd gone to the doctor. He'd got a label and a drug. Not every doctor does that. There are some excellent doctors out there, but there are some that do. So I gave this lecture, and he just sat up. He was so excited to see how all of this worked. Next day I heard him on the phone to his mother. He said, Mum, I feel 200%. Just knowing why. Isn't that the way God made our brain? So he started exercising, but little by little. He had a very strong, healthy body. He was out at Misty Mountain with the fresh air. Yes, I looked at his tongue. It was coated. That's a clear sign of fungal growth. So we had him on herbs. We had him on a low-sugar diet, not no fruit. He's only 22. He hasn't got cancer, just fungal. So just Granny Smith apples and berries, just low. Well, when he went home, he felt so good just knowing what the problem was. He rang me up about a month later. He said, I'm feeling so good. He said, I've decided not to go back to work. He said, I'm going to college and I'm going to become a nutritionist. He said, I want to do what you do. He rang me 6 months later. He said, I've got some good news. He said, I don't live at home anymore. Helicopter mother's gone. She was stifling his growth. A young man said to me one day, because he was incredibly proficient, you know, it's not every young man's room is tidy, you know, and I said, you're very proficient, you know. He was 19. He said, yes, my mother, she made sure we were each independent at the age of 15. We could all sew buttons on our shirts, we could all wash, we could all clean toilets, we could all keep a house clean, we could all cook. I love it. Independent. They can. And doesn't that make the mother's job a lot easier?
Yes.
Absolutely. But mold, that's why you've got to search. You've got to go very deep. Sometimes I say, have you ever lived in a moldy house? That's a good question to have on your questionnaire. Or have you ever been exposed to mold? Because sometimes it can be a work. Sometimes it it can be in the house. Sometimes it can be in many places. Remember the lady that had asthma from 5, and the new house they moved into had mushrooms in the carpet. So you've got to dig very deep. Unfortunately, in Australia, because of Medicare, doctors are only allowed 15 minutes per patient. You can't find a lot in 15 minutes. What I usually do when guests come in, it's half an hour. And they've already filled out their questionnaire, so you can zoom down, and then there might be a couple of points you'll explore a little bit more. And I will get my husband to email us the questionnaires and things like that, so you will have that. And so sometimes the cause of chronic fatigue syndrome can be mild. Sometimes it can be, it's like one lady, her husband started the car every morning to warm it up, and the door from the garage into the dining room was open because he was, and all the exhaust was coming into the. So you've got to investigate. I don't know what it's like in Sweden, but you're not allowed to smoke in restaurants, bars, pubs. You're not even allowed to smoke in a car if there's children in the car. Good. Yeah, it is good, because one of the worst lungs I've met was from a lady who'd never smoked, but her father smoked all her life and her boyfriend smoked. And she was the one that had the bad lungs. That's your passive smoking. It's one of the worst. Now, can you see, students, why smokers start to have their limbs amputated? Because when they smoke, they're taking in a lot of carbon monoxide, and there's not enough oxygen to get to the extremities. And if those extremities lack oxygen, they start to die. Can it be healed? Yes, it can be healed. We looked at yesterday, I told you about the man with two tips, gangrene, they were going to chop it with a cane pepper. So cane pepper on the bottom of the feet, a type of exercise that they can do and get that oxygen in. In Australia, we have a product called GO2. And GO2 is a liquid, and they've put oxygen into the liquid. Now, usually there's about 8 parts per million oxygen in water. There's 150 million parts per million in there. And athletes are taking it. Because when they take that, they get a boost of energy and they perform better. Just another illustration of what oxygen does to the body.
The G has no meaning.
Pardon?
The G, what's that in the name?
Do you know, I can't tell you. I can't tell you. We just know it as GO2. And you can see why the hyperbaric chamber is effective? Mm-hmm. Because Henry's law states that under pressure, more gas goes into a liquid. And that's basically the theory behind the hyperbaric chamber. Mm-hmm. Under pressure, oxygen is pressurized in, goes into the body. And we get some people coming out and they say, I just walked up the hill. I've never been able to just walk up the hill. I've done it once. And after all my 8 months travelling, I decided to do what I had never done before, and that was a 10-day program as an attendee. So I did a hyperbaric chamber. I fell asleep within minutes and I woke up and thought I'd been in there 1 minute, and I'd been in there 1 hour. Oh, I slept incredibly deeply in the middle of the day. Soothes the nerves. Another way that oxygen can be prevented from going in is the way that we breathe. Many people today are high chest breathers, only breathing up here. And when they only breathe out there, the bottom part of their lungs is actually almost not in use. So what would cause someone to be a high chest breather? Slouching. Ellen White states that our abdominal muscles were designed to aid in the breathing process. So that's a sentence I often use. I often quote Ellen White but I actually don't say it is, you know, when I'm speaking to people that don't know of Ellen White. But she says it so beautifully and so well. So our abdominal muscles were designed to aid in the breathing process. So how can we access our abdominal muscles to aid in the breathing process? The back must be straight. And so, and then we come back to the abdomen, and then we come back to what we talked about yesterday, strengthening your abs, strengthening your abdominal muscles. So your Pilates type exercises, they're core strengthening. Yes, because you weren't sure what I meant by core. Core is basically, you know, you've got your apple core and then you've got our core, which is right in here. Our core muscles are very, very important. One massage therapist said to me, I can tell the strength of the whole body by the strength of the core. And you know, when you lift, you keep that back straight, you bend your legs because you're going to lift with your thighs and engage the core. So if I can't see a young man around to help me get my bag, I think I'm going to have to engage the core. I engage the core and take all the weight there. Did you ever wonder why God made this the biggest muscle mass in the body? Why he made that the longest bone in the body? It's so that we lift with our lift with our thighs. There are many a sore back because of this hunching. So keep that back straight. When I was in the Bronx, there was a Jamaican man. He was about 70 and he was weeding. And you wonder, are there any weeds in the Bronx? Well, there was a little gap between the cement and the telegraph pole. And I watched him and he had his back perfectly straight, bending right down, no bend at all in that back. That's the way to bend. I'm able to do much more than I could. Why? Because I do it a little bit more every day. Keep that back perfectly straight. And then when I was in Kenya, Africa, I saw quite a large lady, and you know their brooms are only that long. They're like strawish. And she was sweeping, and she was sweeping like this, and her back was perfectly straight. So practice helps to get that back perfectly straight and a strong core. So make sure every day you do something to strengthen those core muscles. And when you strengthen the core muscles, it will pull your spine into a more upright condition. Do you remember the quote I gave you from Counsel on Diet and Food? I think it's page 29, where Ellen White explains or describes the elements of a healthy body. The erect spine, the erect spine. Do you know, one day I was at some lights and all these school kids, they looked about 13, 14, walking along, and some of them are walking like this, chatting to their friends. And then I saw this real skinny guy. He was really brown with white crazy hair and he was bouncing along. So the erect spine, the firm, elastic step. He was obviously a surfer. It was in a coastal town. But the difference between this muscular, tanned young guy who was just springing along with this straight back, and then so many just walking like this. If you go into a psych hospital, you see that same thing. So the erect form, the firm, elastic step. All this to ensure that you're using your abdominal muscles to aid in the breathing process. Your muscles in your spine are connected to your hip, your rib, other hip and rib, and back to your spine. So strengthening the core automatically pulls that spine into place. You didn't think we'd be talking about that when we talk about oxygen. Because that ensures that you're using your abdominal muscles in the breathing process. So be very careful not to have tight pants, tight skirt, tight belts on, because that also inhibits your abdominal muscles in the breathing process. Are you familiar with Andre Bocelli? He's a blind Italian opera singer. The most amazing voice. So I've never seen him, but I saw a DVD of a concert of his one day, and this is how he stands. He's standing like this the whole time. He doesn't move much. I guess he's blind. But he'll hold a note, and when you think he can't go any further, he'll go up to a higher note and go longer. Now, yes, that is training, but he's used this. Same thing when you speak. Now, remember this when you give lectures. If you speak here, if you speak like this, I'm speaking from my throat and my high chest, and it's not really easy to listen to me, is it? No. But if I speak from down here, if I speak from my abdominal muscles, I can talk all day with no strain. And you listen to news readers, especially women. Men have naturally low voices, but you listen to the female journalist, and she will be speaking low. She will be speaking from here. So be very mindful of the abdominal muscles for your spine health, for your abdominal breathing, and also remember what that will do is that will get more oxygen into your lungs. So when someone's got chronic fatigue syndrome, not only do we need to assess the air that they're breathing, the home that they're in, but also animals in the home, especially in the bedroom, especially on lounges that are cloth and carpet. And I have had some people with chronic fatigue syndrome because of so many animals in the home. And one lady, animals in the bedroom. And I said, can we start with getting the animals out of the bedroom and maybe just in areas where there's wooden or tiled floor, because they don't give out pure air, and it's usually dogs or cats, and they're meat-eating animals, so the breath that they're giving out is not a good breath at all. Now, I have two friends who have vegetarian dogs. They've only ever given them vegetables, and they mix flour, water and a bit of oil together to make long sausage type things and put it in the oven, a really low oven, for 2 hours, and that's their bones. And you know, they don't have bad air coming out. Does that mean if we have vegetarian dogs and cats, can we have them in the house? No, it is still not, you know, there's the dropping of the hair, there's what they're giving out. So that's what you're looking at, is the air that people are breathing. So often we have to check the house. We've got a series at our retreat, and it's called Is Your House Killing You? And there are about 5 DVDs. And SBS Television is one of the television stations in Australia. They did it for a series several years ago. And we show it to our guests, and wow, that's a real eye-opener. Of what's happening in your house, the state of the carpet. One family, they had twin boys, and one twin was rushed to hospital 3 times a week with severe asthma. And so they got the team in to look at the house, and they pulled up the carpet, and so there were 2 beds, you know, one twin was there and the other twin was there. The little boy that was sick, they pulled up the carpet, there was all black mold under the carpet. So you see, when the carpet's down, you couldn't see it. And because it was cold, they had the window shut. So what caused his asthma is the breathing in of the mold. So there are many areas you can see that you can go, because this is the most vital element needed for life. And lacking pure air, whether it be the air that they're breathing, whether it be poor posture, or whether it be that they're not exercising, because exercise is the most powerful way to oxygenate your body. Do you remember I gave you that piece of information the other day, which is an excellent piece of information when you lecture on this? Right now we're breathing in 500 mil, we're breathing out 500 mil. When you get to the top of the hill and you're breathing in very, very deeply, you're breathing in 3,600 mil of air and you're breathing out 3,600 mil of waste. So that's a very important piece of information, which shows the importance of daily exercise. And helping people with chronic fatigue syndrome, start small. Little by little by little, work the body up to it. There's one other area, and we'll be covering this in a little bit more detail when we go on our journey through the gut, and that is poor digestion. So particularly when I talk about poor digestion, I'm talking about the stomach. And as you'll see as we go through the journey into the gut, you've got a whole lot of things happening in your gut. It's about 8 meters long. So there's lots of things happening. So when the stomach is not working well, and the stomach is where our protein mostly is broken down, and one of the reasons that the stomach may not be working well, so this is where you investigate, it could be the person's eating all day, it could be the person's drinking with their meals, it could be the person's having breakfast like a pauper, lunch like a pauper, and tea's the king and the queen together. So you investigate all of those things, and all of those things, and stress at the meal table, stress when they're eating. How many people grab something to eat and run out the door? There, that interferes with digestion. When we're stressed, the brain sends a message to the stomach, and the stomach stops making hydrochloric acid. Have you noticed when you get some bad news in the middle of the meal, you can't really finish your meal? So all of this affects the blood, and affecting the blood means that the oxygen uptake is not going to be as effective. I used to do a live blood analysis, and sometimes I would see this. And the blood should be like that. Now, when that goes through the lungs, how much oxygen's going to pick up? When this goes through the lungs, how much oxygen's that going to pick up? Can you see the surface area that's been lost? And dehydration can cause this, but also poor digestion can cause it. And the way poor digestion can cause it is that you're getting a lack of peak nutrients, or the nutrients you should be getting into your blood, but you're also getting substances going into your blood that has an effect to can cause this. So if ever I saw that, I would say to the guest, I'm very sorry, but I'm unable to read your blood at the moment. Mind you, I would always investigate, because it's very easy to spoil a slide. So if I saw that on the first slide, I would take another slide. And then I would take another slide. And once, 5 blood slides later, it still looked like this. So then I say to the lady, and this happened 9 o'clock in the morning, I said, have you had any water to drink today? She said, no. I said, what have you had today? She said, a banana and a cup of tea. So a cup of tea contains tannin and caffeine, and if sugar goes in, that's 3 dehydrating agents. And when we wake up in the morning, that's the most dehydrated time that our body will be in the whole day. And I don't know about Sweden, but in Australia, people usually wake up and the first thing they have is a cup of coffee or a cup of tea. But that dehydrates even more. And as you'll see when I speak about water, dehydration can manifest itself in so many different ways, in so many different people. What about a banana? Doesn't that have moisture? Well, it does, but your stomach needs water to make digestive enzymes to even break down that banana. So she was dehydrated when she woke up, and her cup of tea and banana, and she happily told me, because she thought it was a pretty good breakfast. At least it wasn't a Coca-Cola and a chocolate bar. You see that? And remember, you never judge. So when she told me, I just said, oh. Can't say right, because it wasn't really right. Can't say that's terrible, because I'm not the judge. And you will lose people. So I just said, oh. I said, did you know? And then I explained to her what I just explained to you. She said, really? I said, yeah. I said, the first thing we should all do when we wake up, it should be by our bed, is water. But the best way to get it in is little by little. This is what I do. I have half a glass of water and a little bit of the Celtic salt. I go to the bathroom, have another half glass of water, pray, have another half glass of water. When I'm up to my second glass, have a little bit more salt. Get dressed, have another half glass of water, do my Bible reading. So usually I can have three glasses of water before I go for my morning walk. And then when I get back, another glass. So I usually wake at 5, walk at 6, eat at 7. So I'm easily able to get a lot of water in. And I don't want to be getting up at night, so I have most of my water before my breakfast and before my lunch, and then maybe a couple of glasses in the afternoon. Just plan it. If you wait till you're dehydrated, your body's in a crisis. You've just got to do it. You've just got to do it. And so I saw this lady a few days later. She said, I'm drinking my water. She said, all I can see in my mind is my clumped blood. But you can give this story. You can even say, Barbara gives the story of when, you see, you can certainly do that, because that tells a lot. Because they can see for themselves, oh dear, we've lost all that surface area. So a person can suffer from chronic fatigue syndrome because they're dehydrated. And we had a pathologist do our program. He said, we've done studies on coffee. He said, you need 5 glasses of water to make up for the dehydrating agents in 1 cup of coffee. Now that piece of information alone tells you that most people today are dehydrated. And you might have heard of the book, One of the Body's Many Cries for Water by Dr. Batman Geheldich, Dr. B. The other title to his book is He's Not Sick, He's Thirsty. And the other title is Don't Treat Thirst with Medications. Fascinating book. And it's a good book for medical missionaries to read. It'll really expand your presentation on water. He goes very deep. And I touched on a few of the places he goes when we look at water. Yes?
What's the name of the book you
wrote? One of the Body's Many Cries for Water. So One of the Body's Many Cries for Water can be chronic fatigue syndrome. So you think it's
your body's many cries.
Or it could be yours, yeah. Try yours. Your body's many cries for water. It could be that. Chronic fatigue syndrome is an effort of nature to free the system from conditions that arise because of a violation of the laws of health. But as I've shown you today, you can go big on showing air, the importance of pure air. So where's the devil going to strike? Pure air. How will he do that? He'll just get everyone to wear masks. Because what are people breathing in when they breathe in their masks? Their body's waste. I read a report by a lung surgeon, and he said, we believe that we're going to have a lot of lung problems soon because people are not breathing in pure air. Yes?
The chronic fatigue syndrome will be coming as well.
That's right, absolutely. There's going to be a lot more people. In fact, the people with wearing masks, at the end of the day, they've got it. They can't do anything. So isn't it interesting? Where has the devil attacked? Pure air.
What are you suggesting then for people who have to wear the mask?
Well, when I come back in, my husband doesn't want me to say this on camera anymore because I was certainly attacked severely because this lady from Ireland, I freely talked to her and I told her about my mask that's full of holes. And it's got diamantes on it, so you actually can't see that it's full of holes.
But they say that they have some chemicals in it, and if you put the holes in, we inhale the chemicals.
I just know that when I've got it on, I can breathe freely. It doesn't inhibit. And in Australia, on the plane, it says no mask, no fly. So you have to wear one. But you might have another option.
Yes, masks from textile masks.
Yeah, yeah. But even then, they have to have holes. Have you ever had a cloth mask on you?
No, they're better.
You're still breathing in your own waste, yeah?
Yeah, I had to work with mask and I got so tired of it. I said, no, I don't work in this place.
Yeah.
I can't.
Yeah.
And a girlfriend, she had to fly to the US and she had some Strohhalm. Strohhalm, I don't know what it is.
Straw
in her nose. It was so different. Then she was able to get more air.
Oh, straws coming out under the
nose.
We're going to have a break now, and when we come back, we're going to visit Dr. Sunshine.